Sunday school lesson, that was still in my mind and my heart, was thinking about things that she was singing and saying, and I thought, you know, I am so thankful the Lord has prepared a place for us in heaven. But I'm so thankful He has given us what we need for here now. I'm glad He's given us spiritual weapons to fight in the warfare of this old world against evil, against ungodliness, against evil thoughts. Thoughts, you know, as He was teaching a while ago. I don't know how you are, but man, there's times I think of things and I think, man, I'm ashamed I even thought that. But that's how this old flesh is. But I'm so thankful the Lord gives us. I'm truly that He gives us spiritual weapons to pull down those strongholds and those things we wrestle with. But aren't you glad there's coming a day that we'll lay aside this old flesh and lay aside this old warfare, and we're going to go home. What a blessing. And I thank the Lord for that. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. I know that we have some empty spots, folks that are normally here. Some still out because of some sickness. Some traveling. Then we have Kevin's family. They've gone to homecoming down in Holland Grove. So it leaves some empty spots. But I'm so thankful the Lord's able to meet with us, touch our hearts, and bless our lives, and do what needs to be done right here today. Such an honor to have Brother Kip Rayfield with us. No stranger to us all. Lord, he's been with us so many times. He and his family, and blesses our hearts every time that he's here. And I thank the Lord for it. Thank God for the work he's doing in Brazil. He called me the other week and said we've had to come in and work out some things on passports, and he said, if there's anything I can do to help you. Yeah, I knew about the wedding on this past weekend, and I asked him if he could come today. That would sure help me out a little bit, and he worked it out to where he could come. And I thank God for that, and I appreciate his willingness to do that. He was already scheduled for somewhere else, got in touch with that pastor, and he graciously switched days that he could come be with us. And I appreciate the Lord doing that and working that out. Such an honor to let him stand here in this pulpit and preach the Word of God. There are people as a pastor, and I know Brother Kim knows this as well, there are preachers as a pastor you wouldn't let them stand in your pulpit. Because you don't know the kinds of things they preach, and you don't know how they live. So I want to tell you, it's never a problem to let someone like Brother Kip stand in this pulpit and preach the Word of God. I love him. Bless him to my heart. I pray for him and his family. I ask God to keep them safe in their work and labors for him. Such an honor, Brother Kip, just to have you with us today. So you come on around. Preach for us and carry out the service as you feel led. Let me put you in the Bible. You can clip this on me. It's ready to go. Just clip that on your lapel or tie, either one. Preach to us what God's given you. Love you, brother. You say amen.
Amen. Folks, have become so dependent upon their ability to protect themselves physically, and they let the spiritual application of the spiritual part of our life become slack.
Oh, yes.
And they become unconcerned that, you know, they can take care of business themselves, and that they can handle whatever comes up because they're carrying now.
Yeah.
Folks, I want to say that anytime the devil's ready, and if you're not walking with God, he can send you back to the house whooped and maybe dead.
Yes.
The devil will do it.
James
gave us, just like was being read over there today in the book of Ephesians about putting on the whole armor of God, that we can submit ourselves to God.
That's right.
Then he gives us the power to be able to resist the devil.
Oh, yes.
And he'll have to flee from us.
Oh, yes.
So we don't have to allow him around our lives, but you mark it down, you get to depending on what you can arm yourself with physically.
Mm-hmm.
You get to depending on how strong you are or how much knowledge you have. I don't care if it's karate, jiu-jitsu you come up with. It'll get you in trouble. The Bible says pride cometh before what?
A fall.
It's very important that we not forget that we are not warring against things in this flesh. That crowd that tries to hurt you, the devils are running that show.
Yeah.
And if you can take down those strongholds of which are running that show over there spiritually,
yeah.
I'll tell you, I'd rather have prayer power on my side than any day of the week than gun power. Amen?
That's right.
It's so important. I can't pull out a gun and help my kids when they're in the university over there in Charlotte, or when I'm down in Brazil and they're out on the street somewhere doing something for the Lord. I can't pull out a gun and help them, or I can't tell them to watch out that. And I'll say, thank God in heaven, when I pray, protection comes down around them.
Oh, yes.
Amen. We want to talk about all this technology that the United States government has to be able to knock down a missile over here, and these different things that we have from space that can help us. And, you know, we take comfort in that and all those ideas, but I'll tell you, when it all boils down to it, I know those things can glitch. I know they can break. I know they can get rust and corrosion in them, and problems can happen, and things can burn up, and bullets may not fire, or missiles may not shoot.
Yeah.
I will say, glory to God, His power never fails. And what He says and what's His will, it will go down that way for sure. Amen. I say amen, brother. Everything is sin, and glory to God. Let's take it and apply it, and not be found leaning on our own strengths, but constantly trusting and leaning on the Lord, and being found completely dependent upon Him in every way, every day, every moment, every hour, every year, until glory calls us where she is singing about.
Amen.
Because I'm going home, and I'm telling you, I've caught a glimpse of it from time to time, being in rooms where people were going to heaven, and it makes me want to leave. Oftentimes, it makes me want to go to the house. It makes me want God to say, Son, let's go home. I think about Enoch sometimes over there as he walked with God, and he got so close to heaven, God just said, Son, just stay at the house here. We're just this close. It's good. I know it don't say that in the Bible, but you know that's what bound to happen, because that's where he went then. They was walking together, and they got over towards the house, and he said, just stay. You don't have to go back anymore. Just stay here with me where I prepared for you. I want to say God has got a plan.
Yes.
We're going to look at that this morning. I want you to turn your Bibles over to the book of Genesis. Ain't it wonderful how God lines up things? He'll get our minds in line in a way that can prepare us to apply and hear His message that He's given us, that we might bring Him more glory, that we might honor Him more with our lives. You know, I found out through the years God's not so interested in our prayer life when it's based on our lust or our desires for our physical self. God's interested in answering prayers in our lives that are going to promote His plan and that are going to fulfill His purpose, and that His power is going to bring Him glory when it's manifested in your life, my life, and our lives. God has a plan, He has a purpose, and He has the power to perform that plan. He doesn't want us to be found as the devil's crowd did, those demons over there in the book of James, mentioning again that same paragraph about submitting ourselves unto God, resisting the devil. He said, the demons believed and did what, church? Tremble. We have a church today. I'm talking about saved, born again by the grace of God, people that are afraid of their own shadows. They're afraid. The government and the news media and all these lies have got them so afraid that they don't want to do anything, that they don't want to be anywhere, and they don't want to continue on in the work of God. I want to say, get busy about what God's told you to do. Amen. Let's quit holding back. Let's just get down to business and do it with everything we've got in us. Because time is running short. Peoples are dying. And I'm not talking about from COVID. Peoples are dying because people just die. Yeah. And people go to hell and they go there forever and ever and ever. And don't you be afraid of what God tells you to do. Just get busy about His business. Get to working and get to witnessing and let God get the glory out of your life. You're not leaving here. Listen to me this morning, saved person. You will not leave this world until God is done with you working here.
Oh, yes.
He's either in control or He's not. You either believe the Bible or you don't. I didn't say going around and hugging everybody's neck that says they got the flu. I didn't say do that. You know why? Because most times you end up a lot of times with the flu.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes. He didn't say go out and be stupid. He wants us to be wise. He wants us to be knowledgeable. He wants us to have understanding. But He didn't say stay in the house. He didn't say quit doing what you're supposed to be doing. He didn't say quit brushing your teeth and washing yourself. He didn't say quit washing your clothes and going out in public and presenting yourself as a light in this dark world. Amen. He didn't say stop doing any of those things. He said, get busy. He said, did you not know, Mom, that I must be busy about my Father's business? Y'all remember over there? Isn't that what He said? He didn't call her Mom, but he did say, did you not know? Yeah. Folks, don't you know that we're supposed to be following in the footsteps of the Lord? We're not supposed to be held up somewhere wondering and worrying. We're supposed to be praying and standing and doing all this thing. Yeah. That God would get the glory in these last days. Folks, we're leaving out of here. The times are coming. I've been over there this morning. The Lord's talking about it's coming tonight and there won't be any more time for us to work.
Yeah.
Huh? 2 years has went past and next thing you know, here we hear each other talking and say, well, you know, that was just last year. No. COVID's been 2 years and here we are. No, it's been at least 3 years since that happened. Hey, we've lost track of time. Get you down to look. It's 2022. That 2020 is gone.
Yeah.
It's wasted. 2021, a big part of it was wasted. Here we are, 2022. Let's get busy. We see what's been happening and that we believe the lie. I know that stuff's real. I know it's a real sickness. But I want to say it's not as big a problem as they've made it to be. And I say God is bigger than all of us.
Yeah.
Amen. And there's been so many people that death certificates have been stamped with a lie. It's ridiculous. And you better get a hold of that. And the devil will tell you a lie to stop you any way, any shape, any form that he can if you'll let him. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
We've got to wake up and let go and let God again have His will and His way in our life. I want to say, if God says go, go. The doctor told me, I had mom and dad tell me at first, I had sisters and brothers and different people in the church tell me, are you sure you're supposed to go to Brazil? My doctor said, son, he said, get said, you think that the Lord wants you to go down there in that place and take your little children and your family? That when there's all these churches around here that don't have pastors, why are you doing that? I'm going to say this is what God said to do. Amen. Dina asked me back several months ago when I started traveling and preaching again a lot and in Brazil and in here. She said, "You sure we're supposed to do this? Are you sure it's going to be safe?" I said, "I'm sure it's going to be safe." I said, "God gave me the green light." He said, "Go preach. Go tell them it don't matter if it's 500 or 50 or 10 something there. Tell them what I said to say and tell them it this way." You know what? God, He's in control, folks. He's God Almighty. He's the one who made the heavens and the earth. He's God. He's the Lord. He's the one that saved you if you're really saved today.
Amen.
Amen, church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo! You say, what are you doing, kid, this morning? I'm telling you, God put this thing on my heart this morning so heavy. I'm telling you, it's about to make me explode right now. I ain't got to read my scripture yet, but I want to say God's real today. I just want to glorify Him a little bit. I remember in that time in that revival meeting when God came on my heart that night. I didn't even know what was happening. Didn't know I was lost. Been in church all my life, but I want to say hallelujah. God came by my heart that night and showed me I was lost. I was on my way to the devil's hell, and He wanted to save my soul. Where are you at tonight? Where are you at this morning, I'm saying? Do you know we'll have a shout out you're saved and that you're on the way to where she was just thinking about that the preacher said was prepared for you and I? Do you know that you're going to heaven? If you left here right now, do you know you were going?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Do you know? Genesis chapter 1. Hope everybody can find it. Hope you've been opening your Bible during the week enough that you don't have to sing that old song we used to sing. Get that dust off the Bible. Y'all heard that song?
Yeah.
Dust on the Bible, dust on the Holy Word.
Yeah.
All the books and magazines, the little old song said, not a Bible could I find.
Mm-hmm.
Hope your house is not like that. Get that dust off the Bible. It said, redeem your poor souls. Here in Genesis 1. Woo! Aren't y'all glad that it's real? Aren't you glad God's real?
Amen.
Somebody asked another, they said, what are you doing? Yeah, brother. Yep.
Nah.
Well, this year's kind of messed up, but it's kind of broken up. And when I said messed up, it kind of grieved. See, nothing in our life, if we're doing what the Lord wants us to do, is messed up. Amen? God's got a reason for everything.
Oh, yes.
And since my foot hit the ground here in the United States, God has been working on my heart. When my foot hit the ground down there in Brazil, you know what God was doing? He was working in my heart. And when God's working in my heart, you know what I better be busy doing? I better be busy working.
Yeah.
Huh? You know the job won't get done unless you're working. All through the book of John, Jesus is continued to put the goal before the people in the book of John. Chapter after chapter, he would say that the work might be finished, that the work can be finished. And then over there, about 17, he said, he told God as he prayed about us, those that were coming after, that we'd be one and be one. Chapter 17, that prayer, you know what I'm talking about? He said, and the work is finished. And then when he got on the cross, you know, the last thing he cleared up again, he said, it is, what's he talking about? The work. The work is finished. Y'all remember what he said after he finished up the sixth day? He said, he didn't say that it was good, the sixth day of creation here in the book of Genesis. He didn't say it was good. He said it was very good. And I read a little bit more into that very this morning. And in Hebrew, that word very there means exceptionally good. And he said it was good six or seven other times. And then he finished up there that last time. He said, and it is very good. I don't know about you, but I like it when somebody's working on something for me when they say, well, your car's ready. Amen. Or they say, well, sir, we've finished up the kitchen. It's done. Y'all want to come look at it since it's all finished? Huh? You know? And I've seen all those different types of situations. And I've been in many, many different buildings when they were, the first time, what they call that, when they have a building dedication for a church. And my dad and my grandpa, they would build church buildings, and we'd go in and sit down on that Sunday, and they would have that dedication in that building. Everyone would look around at everything that had been finished. The building was done. It was complete. Folks, when you live out here on that last day, are you going to let COVID or some kind of "I'm scared" or "I'm afraid" excuse keep you from finishing what the Lord's got planned for your life? Are you going to be judged on Judgment Day? We know we're not going to be judged for our sin, but we're going to be judged for our works, aren't we, Brother Tony? Wow. And are you going to be judged? Are you going to be able to hold up your head and say, "It's finished, Father"? Is there anything else you want me to do? I'll tell you, there's no better feeling about to say it's finished. Is there anything else you want me to do? You know why a lot of us don't know what we're supposed to be doing in this world? You know why it is? Because we have not asked God what He wants us to do. You say, well, I'm a teacher, I'm a doctor, I'm an engineer, I'm a lawyer. I'll tell you, is there a child of God not supposed to be a preacher or a Sunday school teacher or even a song leader? And I'll tell you, every member in the body of Christ has got a job, some work, they're supposed to be a laboring in and doing. Amen? Every one of us. And the reason you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing a lot of times is because you give that excuse. But I just don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. When is the last time that you asked God, what does He want you to do as an individual member in the body of Christ, that you might bring Him glory and honor with everything He's given you, everything He's blessed you with, and all the multiple talents and the spiritual gifts that He's given you, that you might bring glory and honor unto the Father? When's the last time you asked Him and waited on an answer?
Yep.
Preacher, I'm doing this for the Lord, and I'm doing this for the Lord, and I'm doing this for the Lord. You know, I see a lot of people in these days that are doing things for the Lord, but I see very few people that are doing things with the Lord. See, there's a difference in doing things with the Lord, for the Lord, than doing things just for the Lord. You say, well, what is it? Well, when you do it just for the Lord and you're not doing it with Him, it's not something that God shows you you're supposed to do. Amen? But when God tells you what you're supposed to do, you've got that phrase that we're going to read here. It says, "And God said," or "God told me to do this." And when you've got the "God told me to do this" phrase on your side, then you can work with Him in what He told you to do. I remember coming home before from school or whatever, and I looked on the table and I asked my older sister, I said, "Did Daddy or Mama, did they leave us anything that we were supposed to do before they got here?" Huh? I had to look and find and see if did they say anything we're supposed to do today or this afternoon. And I say that to say this, if God wants to prepare a place for us, He said, "I will come," what? He said, "I'll come back." He said, "I'll come again." He said, "I'll come back and come again." What's He going to do? He's going to see what we've been doing. Huh? And He's going to take us home with Him, then we're going to have to stand before Him. And He's going to judge us on what we've done and what we've not done. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about work. Isn't that right, Brother Tony?
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
We're not talking about sin. We're talking about getting busy about the Father's business. And God's already took care of our sin, past, present, and future. Amen.
Right.
What we're responsible for is taking the power and getting ourselves involved in His plan, working out His purpose. That God would get the glory in everything our lives are doing. Has anybody ever heard this little phrase when he's working? All right, fellas, all right, folks, all right, kids, people, teachers say, "Let's make every move count." Anybody ever heard that one? Huh? Raise your hand if you ever heard that. Are you making every move count when it comes down to God's business? Are you making every move count? You've got to be making every move count when you go to the convenience store, when you go to the bank, when you go to the grocery store, when you go to Walmart, when you go downtown, when you go anywhere and everywhere. You better be making every move count.
You say, well, am I supposed to say something about God everywhere I go? Your life is already saying everything. Now, about 15% of it's going to be said with your mouth. And the rest of it's going to be said with your actions, your attitude, your reactions to what they say or how they act. Amen. And it's going to overwhelm them because we're going to overcome evil with what, church? We're not going to answer strife with what? Strife. We're going to answer evil with good. And when we answer with good, evil will be overcome. You say, well, why? Let's read it right here, Genesis chapter 1. Y'all notice how he gave me a bunch of time today? He knows me by now.
Yeah.
Huh? See, we've got to have a habit of listening to a lot of preaching. You wouldn't believe the churches I go in and they only give me 20 minutes. The rest of it's taken up by 10 minutes worth of announcements, 5 or 10 minutes worth of praying, and then they do some singing, and then they do some handshaking for about 5 minutes, and they say, there you go, preacher. Mm-hmm. But it ain't one out there. On the point. Isn't that sad? Yeah. And they'll sit some, watch some old hellish movie on TV, and was sad it went off so quick. Mm-hmm. You say, hellish movie? Well, when you don't want to listen to preaching, and you're ready to leave by the time you get to church, what you watch on TV is going to be hellish. Because you're going to be feeding your flesh and you're not going to be feeding the spirit because your spirit's not even hungry. It hasn't eaten too much and too long, and so it don't have much of an appetite. You ever notice your physical body? The more you eat, the more you want. Huh? The more you want, don't you?
Yeah.
They even throw things in there nowadays to increase your appetite. It's called carrageenan. You ever read it on there? That's what that is. MSG, you ever read that one? It's designed to increase your appetite. And they put your gene in there, and that's an artificial, comes from seaweed. I mean, it's a natural, increase your appetite ingredient. They throw it in ice cream and everything else. And so you don't want to eat just a bowl full now. You want to eat the whole thing. Huh? And you know what I found out? If I say hallelujah a couple times, and I say praise the Lord a couple times, and they sing a couple songs, you know what? It automatically increases my appetite to stay at church more. Yeah. I mean, amen? And I just said amen in Portuguese, y'all. I'm following. The Lord wants us to get a hold of today like we never have got a hold of before in our lives. He wants us to be a wanting Him like He's a wanting us. Amen. Man, I know you know what I'm talking about. You come home, you've been gone all day, and it's just a blessing to come in and somebody gives you a hug. And it's just a blessing to somebody maybe write you a little note every now and then telling you that they love you. Amen. I'm going to say that intimate part that's in between a man and a woman, or even a man and his children, or a woman and her children, it's important to our lives. And I want to say, God, our intimate relationship with Him is so much more. Why? Because He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And we take Him for granted.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
We take Him for granted.
Yeah.
Genesis. Chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Did y'all get a hold of that one? Huh? He created what? The heaven and the earth. And He can't take care of you and I? Huh? If God said to go do something, you better be that. He's the one that created the heaven and the earth. And you better have... The Bible says the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the what? The Lord. If you have a respectful fear for God, when my daddy used to tell me, son, you better, when I say move, you better what? I can't hear y'all. When I say move, you better what? Let's say a little bit louder. When God says move, you better what? Huh? Isn't that right? When God says move, you better move. Amen. You say, what are you saying, preacher? When my daddy told me that I better move, you know what I did? I found myself moving.
Yeah.
Huh? Because if I didn't, he would move me. Did you know my dad's turning 82? He turned 82 this past Tuesday. And I believe that this day he's stronger than I am. I believe he is. I believe he is. He is something else. He goes to work every day about 10 o'clock, quits about 7:30. And he'll come out there. If you go over there in the spring, the summertime, he's coming out there for a little old lunch box, and he's going to the job. Amen. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying he's on the move. He's getting things done. He's working. Amen. And people ask me what my hobby is. They said in Brazil, said, "What's your hobby down there?" And you know, I just really have a hard time with that word hobby. I tried fishing years ago, and next thing I know, I found myself going to meet with Brother Tony, and the boat sat out there that about rotted, and I found myself studying, and I found myself praying, and you know what my hobby is? Working. I just like working. I just flat like working. Now, if you don't like what you do for work, pray God give you something you can like. Amen. I just like working. It don't matter what kind of work it is. If it's working, getting something done, you can look back and see what's accomplished. I like it. I even like watching people work. You know those little reality shows on TV, people on there working and doing different things? I like watching that. I get so tired sometimes I'll sit down 10:30, 9 o'clock trying to calm down a little bit and watch somebody work a little bit. That makes me get a little bit tired and I go on to bed. Amen. You say, what are you saying? Folks, working is a pleasure and enjoyable. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing and God's put it in you to do that, you're going to want to get it done. Yeah. Amen? Did you ever hear about the Lord running off doing this and doing that? No, the Lord was in there. He was working to get the job done. Amen? Yeah. Have you ever had anybody do anything on your house before? And you said, well, if they would come on in and do some work, they'd get this thing done. You ever heard anybody say that? People complain. You know what I'm talking about? People complain. They forget that that crowd was over there at 7 o'clock at Home Depot or at Lowe's picking up material, and it took them to 9:30 time they got checked out, and they had to do this and had to do that, and they finally got over to the job. They think they just showed up at work. They were over getting there, getting things that they had to have to be able to do the work. I want to say sometimes, listen to me, sometimes you won't always be seen, but if you're doing the work of the Lord, sometimes you'll be off to yourself. You'll be off to yourself of praying. You'll be off to yourself of studying His Word. Maybe just thinking on what God's got for you, but when you go at it, glory to God, you'll have what you need to be able to get the job done when you work with Him, for Him. That crowd is just working for Him. It's going to be just like the Lord said. They came up to Him and said, "Now we've done many wonderful, wonderful works in Your name. We cast out demons. We did this and that." And they went down to do this. And Jesus said, "What church?" He said, "Depart from me that was working for me and not with me. You workers of iniquity, I don't even know you." Yeah. Isn't that what He said? Yeah. It's not about working for the Lord. It's about working with Him. And guarantee you, when you're working with Him, you will be working for Him. Amen. You say, "Preacher, how do you know the difference?" If you can't tell me when the Lord dealt with your heart about doing something, you're working for Him and not with Him. If you can't tell me when God, if you're saved in here today, raise your hand if you remember God speaking to you and showing you that you were lost. Raise your hand. You remember that? Remember when God dealt with you about when you were lost? And God began to speak to you in that moment as Jesus was on Calvary's cross. Y'all remember? The guy on the left, I call him the lost person. Luke talks about it in detail. He's the one of two that mentions there was a man on the left and there was one on the right. So we'll call the one on the right-hand side, the hand of power, we'll call him saved. But on the left one, he kept saying, if you are God, get us all down from here. The one on the right, he got kind of fired up and corrected the one on the left. You remember what I'm talking? And he said, "What are you talking about?" And then he got to ask him the Lord. He said, "Could you remember me when you enter in your paradise?" Y'all remember that? You know what he was asking for? He was asking for salvation.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he's asking for. And so the Lord never recognized the fellow on the left anymore. He never spoke to him or anything at all. After all his comments, he never even talked to him. Why? Because the Bible says, if you don't believe on the name of the Son of God, the name of Jesus, says you're what already? Condemned already. And the one on the right, he asked for help. I want to say God is a help in a time of need. If there's anybody ever needed any help, there never was a time. It was the guy hanging on the right hand side of the Lord that day. Y'all remember what I'm talking about? And he looked over there and he said, today, immediately after salvation, that man was saved. Immediately, it didn't take, he was birthed into the kingdom of God. And Jesus immediately began to tell him about his future. He began to tell him where he was going to be at and what he was going to be doing. He said, today, thou shalt be with me in what? Paradise.
Y'all have read your Bibles.
Isn't that a blessing? Folks, did it encourage you when you read it? Keep on reading. Keep on getting. Keep on applying. Keep on memorizing. Because God is wanting you to know that you might not sin against him and who's in heaven above. That people might know that Jesus is really, really, really real.
Look here, verse 2 says, let's read verse 1 again. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. The earth, God had already made it. The earth, the planet was here, and was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, that there, verse 3, that's not the sun and the moon. The sun and the moon only came into the picture in verse 4, right? Not verse 4, but on the fourth day.
Excuse me. On the fourth day. Now, there's a lot of symbolism out there. There's a lot of, it's full of symbolism. I can stop right there and preach and just go right into there what God was already the light before we ever came into the world. Jesus already was before he ever was born in Bethlehem. And when God set the light into the world, Jesus, amen, that's what it's talking about in verse 4, symbolically, which all this actually happened physically. And the Old Testament is there, for example, physically, that we might understand more clearly the spiritual application in the New Testament. Amen? And the symbolism is there, and the things in the New Testament might be brought to life. As the moon is a picture of the church reflecting Christ, which the S-U-N is the light of this world shining on the moon, which is a picture of the church. Amen? All that symbolism in there. That's not where we're at today. That's not where we're going to stay. Why? Because God's down to the fundamental basics today. Are you working with him or not?
You say, preacher, why are you asking like that? Well, here's what gives you the power. See, in this phrase right here, which is said over and over throughout the days of creation, you see in verse 4, it said, verse 3, it said, and God said. Then you see in verse 4, it said, and God saw. And then you see in verse 5, and God called. And then in verse 6, again we see God said. The phrase is said over and over more than anything else that God did, and a verb on the end of it was said. And so that's why we come up with this, the thought that God spoke the world into existence. We have all these other things that God did, but the most important thing here that we're looking at today is what God said. Because all of creation has already been made. Everything that's ever been made has already been made. Amen. And evolution's a lie. Young folks, or if you graduate college and you're part of that 97% that believe in evolution, you just believe the condemnable lie. A lie. That's all it is. The chicken did come first, and the egg came next. The oak tree came, then the acorn came, the fruit, and then the fruit tree came, and it was came forth, written in the chapter, yielding fruit. Amen? And after its kind, and after its kind, and by the way,
everything on top of the land, all these different things were created before, not man, not woman, but things were created that did, they say came out of the sea and came up on the earth and created. That God says in here that that was created afterwards. Why? Because He already knew what kind of life was going to take. And the proof's in the pudding. They're always learning and constantly disproving what they think they've already proved, and they'll think they proved something else, and it's disproved, and they'll go on with some other theory. It's just an educated guess that forever learning and never coming along with the truth. They'd rather believe a lie and be damned than believe the truth and be what? Saved. That's what the Bible says. That little phrase right there this morning, that's where we're at for the next 5 minutes. And God said. And God said. I want you to be able to say what you do this week, and what you do next month, and what you do this year, and the rest of your life, this is what God said for me to do. Amen. This is who God said for me to marry. This is where God said for me to live. This is the car God said for me to buy. This is where I'm supposed to do this. This is what God said. Amen. You know why? Because you're supposed to buy the car from the salesman that you're supposed to talk to about the Lord eventually, maybe not that day or that month, but eventually you're going to get to talk to him about the Lord, but you're going to begin shining the light in his or her life on that day in which you purchased that car. Amen. And you're going to have an impact on them. You're going to have their ear because they're going to want you to buy another what? Car. Huh? God made us that way. Real estate agents the same way. Neighbors are the same way. Amen. God's got a plan and He wants you in that plan. In this verb tense used here, in God said. It's like a third person tense and it carries the idea of when God created the heavens and the earth. All that carries the idea of God created it all at once, but He didn't create it with self-perpetuating or self fulfilling way about itself. In other words, it has to have God continually active in it. Amen. That's like us in our life. God created our life. But you know that when we get up in the morning, if we'll ask God for His help, He'll help the pain subside a lot of times. He'll help us breathe a little better and do a little better and feel a little better if we just want. Ask. I have found myself completely depleted of energy and the ability to go, and I just pray, God help me. God help me. You know what He did? He helped me, preacher. He helped me. God said, what is the work that you're doing, lawyer, preacher, teacher, whoever you are? There's a lot of preachers that are not working. Huh? There's a lot of preachers that are preaching on Sunday mornings, but they're not working. You say, how do you do that? Because there's a lot of preachers in places they're not supposed to be. There's a lot of preachers that are pastoring churches that are not supposed to be a pastor in that particular church because they didn't wait on what God said. So if the leaders of the flocks can be in the wrong place, members can be there also. And if members being in the wrong place at church, they'll be in the wrong house a lot of times. They'll be driving the wrong car. Amen. They end up marrying the wrong wife or wrong husband. It's a big thing. And it's kind of like that ripple effect in the pond. So we got to get caught up. And these fellas, these young ladies and these young boys, they need to know that how to do what God says. They need to know how to follow what God says. And when I got to Brazil, I preached several different places with interpreters during the first year. And as I began to preach after about 10 or 11 months of being there and learning the language, I began to preach without an interpreter, and I would bring up what God said to me. Or God dealt with my heart about this. I had a preacher that was real prominent in the area about an hour and a half from us. That was about the closest church at that time from us. And he called and he said, brother, I just want to ask you a question. Does God actually speak to you audibly? It was bothering him. But I've watched his life since then, and oh, what messes he's got himself into, and difficult situations he's got himself into, because he hasn't waited on what God was telling him in his heart. And God was revealing to him that he might know and he might understand what is real, that he might be working not only for God, but at the same time with God in what God said to do. Amen. Some preachers go to jobs because it's a big church. Others go because they like the building. Others go because it's convenient where they already live. And I'll tell you, it better be the only reason you're there, because it's what God said. And the same reason it is for the preacher where he's at and what he's doing should be the same reasons for what you're doing, where you're at and what you're doing. Amen? Our job should not be just on what we would want to do, or we would like to do, or where we'd like to live, or what we'd like to have as an income. It better be what God wants you to do. And a lot of times the reason you don't like what you're doing when you're working where you're working that you chose to work is because it's not what God said to do. I got some close friends. They went to college, some of them 5, 6, 7, 8 years, and to this day you can talk to them and say, how's it going? How good they work? Well, it's just work.
It's just work.
How it works, what it is.
People come up this place nowadays, y'all notice this young.
Well, it is what it is. That's pitiful. It should be what God said. Amen? Y'all don't clown up on me now. I've got 3 minutes. Huh? Isn't that what it should be? Huh? And you know what? When we do what God said, joy can fill your soul over and over and over again. Joy. Question is, where's your joy coming from? Amen? Do you have it in your life? Has to be what God said. Yeah. Only way you're going to get joy out of where you're working is if it's what God says. Only way you're going to get joy out of where you're living is if it's what God says. Amen?
Yeah.
The reason some of y'all buying some marks of vehicles, some, not marks, but types of vehicles. In Brazil, you call it a mark. The reason you're buying is because you didn't listen to what God said. I said a lot of them is just junk that you buy them anyhow, I know this.
Huh?
Amen.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not telling which one I like better for it, Sherry. I'm not telling. I'm just saying, a lot of times, the reason you get the wrong car for you didn't pray about it. I think you could even buy some of them that I don't think too much of. God said to buy it, well, that's where you're supposed to buy. I think the little one of them turns out just fine. And sometimes if you have to go back to the mechanic shop over the auto dealership more than usual, there's a reason for you to be there. Amen? You know, I really don't like it when they don't let me go back in there where my car is. Huh? So I wait for them guys to come out to get them some water, or get them a snack. I talk to them while they're out there. Because I got a habit of talking to them over the years. I walk around in different places and talk to them and invite them to church and different things in back in those shops. And so I still go get my tires in a place that I can stand there and talk to the man and put my tires on. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? I'm letting him know me a little bit. I'm getting to know him a little bit. Next thing you know, I'm getting around to the point that he's asking me questions. Amen? You know? That's what God says to do. We should be busy about God's business. Have you asked him what you're supposed to do? He said, preacher, yeah, I have. Are you doing what you're supposed to do? And I've got time to go there. The Holy Book of John says, Jesus said about, he started talking about doing greater works. And later on in that chapter, he said, because of those greater works, you'll have a greater witness. Because of those great, and he said, because of this, these greater works and this greater witness, it witnesses of what I'm doing, the works I'm doing, that
through me that people might know the Father. Amen. I'm telling you, it's all tied in to getting yourself busy. Just have it. Get to doing what God said in your life. Because if you're not, you're going to be in the wrong places, up to the wrong people. And eventually, you end up doing the wrong things. Folks, God loves you this morning. He evidently loves this church a whole lot. So I waited all day yesterday, all day Friday, for a message. And he gave me this thing about 7:30 this morning. Just for y'all. He said, do what he said to do. Let's stand on our feet this morning. Get to bow.